Well, the word of God says that the foundations are destroyed. What will the righteous do? Well, what happens when you tamper with the very foundations of human society? I'm talking about marriage and the family.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, the official weather report is that it's still really, really cold in New York. Maybe not quite as cold as yesterday, or maybe I'm starting to get used to the cold. Michael Brown coming your way from Long Island today, looking forward to two very special days of ministry. Nassau County tonight, Suffolk County tomorrow morning, and then Manhattan all tomorrow afternoon. I'll tell you more in a moment where you can meet me, what we'll be doing. To get into the program today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you wanted to get through yesterday as you were listening to my interview with Pastor Frank Schaefer, well, he's since been defrocked by the Methodist Church for performing, quote, the marriage for his son to another man. We ended up speaking almost the entire hour. He said that he would be glad to interact off the air. You may have tried to get through. We took no calls the first hour, then the phone lines were flooded the second hour. But I'll continue that discussion today if you like. 866-348-7884. Towards the end of the first hour, and many of you got to hear this, I asked this man, who seems very sincere, very open about where he's at, I said, what if your son came to you and said, Dad, I've made a terrible mistake. I'm under deep conviction of the Holy Spirit. I know God does not want me with this man. I know he didn't create me to be gay, and I want help. I asked him, would that cause you to reevaluate your views? Would that prompt you to go back and study the issue again? He said, oh, absolutely. That's troubling. It's not troubling that he loves his son like that. It's troubling that he thinks somehow that truth could be adjusted by how a person feels, that God's standards are subject to how we feel or perceive things at a given time, that a deep emotional plea can change the standard, the truth of God. And we have to recognize, friends, as we talk about being a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, that the stakes are high. And once we start tampering with the very definition of marriage and the foundations of family, everything else gets tampered with. Got a lot to talk about today, a whole bunch of subjects I want to cover, but this is from a documentary from last July, England's Channel 4, a one-hour documentary about polyamory, clip number 3.
While polyamory might seem like a bizarre concept, there are already an estimated 200 practicing polyamorists in the UK. In America, polyamory is already a social phenomenon, with polyamorous communities emerging in almost every state.
Yeah, okay, that goes back to 2006, when I said July 20th. It goes back to 2006. They mentioned that number. Well, according to Newsweek a few years ago in America, there are 500,000 such families. What does it mean? One more clip before the break. Clip number 1 from the same documentary.
Polyamory is the philosophy and practice of loving more than one. It means that you no longer have to make do with one partner. You can have two or three and so on without fear of jealousy or reprisal. And so can your partner.
It's really not that radical. It's about honesty.
To me, it's ethical non-monogamy.
Hey, why not? Why not?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
For me, polyamory involves a faith that love is not finite.
I think we live in a monogamous society because it's a Christian society, and that's how it's always been.
Yeah, you know, there is talk widespread that the large Muslim community in England didn't get involved in the debate about redefining marriage, same-sex so-called marriage. Why? Well, they're happy for that to pass as much as they differ with it, because that would make it easier for them to get polygamy passed. After all, if you can say yes to fundamentally redefining marriage to say it's no longer the union of a man and woman, but simply the union of two people, any two people, and if you have polyamorists saying, why just two? Well, how much more polygamists saying, well, we want committed marriages, but just not limited to one wife for one man. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You start tampering with the foundations and anything goes. Has anyone really thought through the long-term implications of what this means for the kids, for the children? It's one thing if you are a single parent raising your kid and you're doing your best to overcome the challenges of being a single parent. Some of you are doing an amazing job and you are courageous. And by God's grace, your kids are turning out great, despite the fact that everything falls on your shoulders in these ways. But normally a single parent home is one that says, we recognize something's missing. We recognize that there's a deficit, so we're working harder to make it up, as opposed to glorifying single parent homes and saying, who needs a second parent? Have a kid and just let one parent, normally the mom, raise them. That's not what's being said, but it is what's being said with these other arrangements. Can I ask you a question? With the push for polyamory now, with the push for polyamory and polyamorous couples, say couples, well, not couples. They're not couples. They're anything but couples. I wrote an article. You can read it as my latest article, AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest article. That not everything is jolly with poly, something to that effect. Attention getting named, but not a lightweight subject. Well, in point of fact, there are kids being raised in this setting that say, I hate it. I hate the fact that there's this other person. And the one girl that's talking, teenager, says her mom and dad have a common girlfriend. So the girlfriend is the girlfriend of both the father and the mother. And they've lived with this relationship for years. And they all came to the girls' Catholic school parent-teacher meeting, the three of them, and were openly affectionate with each other. And people are saying, what's that? And then the kids are saying, ooh, that's gross. That's what your parent, what's that? And she said, I just want to be normal. But let's take this further. Are you really going to tell me that those relationships are going to be as stable as monogamous relationships? Yeah, I know we've got a problem with no-fault divorce and all these other things. Are you really telling me that these relationships are just as stable? That a kid raised in this relationship with two couples together, or the lady with her boyfriend that she has a baby with and her husband who doesn't want to have a baby, and they all live together in bliss and there's no jealousy? And and you're going to tell me these are just as stable. You're going to tell me you have just as many 10-year or 20-year anniversaries for these people? Let's go to clip number 9 of swingers. Hey, multiple partners. There are even people say it's okay to have Christian swingers, which is like talking about godly demons. Let's listen to clip number 9 with Lisa Ling talking about children of swingers in America.
Children who are privy to the fact that their parents believe in having multiple people to have sexual relations with? How does a child ever learn what structure and consistency is? And how does a child experience good self-esteem? Rather, they think, well, if my mother's not good enough for my father and my father needs to be with somebody else to be fulfilled, well, then how will I ever be good enough for somebody?
Think that's fair? Matt, you meant narcissistic. It's close. That was close. Kind of a combination of narcissistic and sarcastic. Narcissitic, I think, is what you wrote. Narcissitic. Maybe that's a new word that was just coined here. Look, I know a lot of these families say, oh, it's great, and there's no jealousy, and we have the multiple partners and all of this, and it takes a village to raise a child, so we have like a communal raising of the child and all this. And I'm sure some kids come out of this fine. I'm also sure, well, fine to a certain extent, but they cannot be fine fully in terms of their perception of what a family is, their perception of what male-female relationships are to be, their perception of responsibilities of moms and dads. There are many other things that they will not rightly and fully understand and grasp. It's like one woman said, she was raised in a home where the mother had children with the father, but he was openly, flamingly homosexual with multiple other partners, would often be brought right into the house. Somehow the mother just tolerated that and lived with that relationship. And the daughter said that growing up, first she thought, well, maybe she's got to experiment with lesbianism to see what that's like, because that was the environment that she was in with her father and the gay bar scene and all that, that the men were with the men, women with women. But she said she never got to see her father model how to relate to a woman. She never got to see her father model the way a husband would nurture and care for a wife. She never got to see that relationship and felt terribly deprived. After all, how could he give something he did not have? You say, well, why should I care? Well, aren't you called to love your neighbor as yourself? Doesn't that mean that you therefore not sit around to be your neighbor's policeman, but you are considerate and courteous to think, how do my decisions and choices affect society as a whole? How do my responses to those choices affect society as a whole? And again, these are issues coming our way. Just a couple more things about this before I switch over to another subject. Joey, let's get clips 16 through 18 ready. Jonathan Turley, law professor at George Washington University, is on NPR, National Public Radio, talking about the decision of the state of Utah to, I guess the simplest way to say it, is relax some of the laws prohibiting polygamy. Listen to what this law professor has to say. Clip number 16.
Really, what this case reflects is where the gay and lesbian community was almost exactly 10 years ago, before the ruling in Lawrence v. Texas. That was the ruling where the Supreme Court said you could not criminalize homosexuality. The polygamists are a decade behind that. And when we talk about polygamists, you have to remember that cohabitation statutes really apply to a vast array of plural families that are often ignored.
Ah, just like things were for homosexuals in terms of, quote, marriage and these issues just not that many years ago, that's where they're at with polygamists today. Clip number 17.
Can you accept, though, a clear line that says same-sex marriage means equal access to a fundamental right? Polygamy is about something completely different, and it might very often be in violation of the rights of, say, the women.
Well, it can be, but so can monogamy. I mean, I can show you a vast array of cases involving conventional marriage where women are abused, children are abused as well. And critics, they want this to be this image of compound polygamists wearing prairie dresses and living in isolation. That's not how most plural families live. Most are like the Brown family. They're very modern. The women believe in divorce. They live in cities. They have jobs. But they are treated as felons.
That is Jonathan Turley responding to host Robert Siegel. The Brown family, speaking of, is obviously the TV polygamous family, not my family. And lastly, clip number 18 from NPR.
You cannot defend a new civil liberty by denying it to others. I think that there is a grander, more magnificent trend that you can see in the law, and that is this right to be left alone. People have a right to establish their families as long as they don't harm others.
Hey, anything goes. Polyamory, polygamy, same-sex, so-called marriage. Of course, it has to go in that direction. What do? We get our marriages in order. We stand for what is right in God's sight. Husbands, wives, live this out, and then we stand for what's right in society.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm debating this. I think I might do this. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. It is Wednesday, unless you're listening to this at another time. We do focus on moral cultural issues. We've been talking about marriage, family, and when you redefine that, anything can be changed. Don't let anyone fool you about it. Say, no, we just want this, but not that. That may be their intent, but it's not the way it's going to work. There's something that's come up recently, and I'd like to get your thoughts on it, but I want to get constructive thoughts. I don't want this to turn into negativity or ugliness. And I'm thinking about whether I want to go in this direction, if we can do it constructively. But I trust you, my dear listening audience, well enough that I think we can do this constructively. So in a moment, I'm going to read something to you, and I want your response, 866-34-TRUTH. But first, for all my friends listening on Hope Radio, we intended to have the second hour of the broadcast live yesterday. There was a technical glitch. It didn't happen, but hopefully today you'll hear both hours. Tonight, 7 o'clock, I'll be in Freeport on Long Island, West Merrick Road, Word of Life Church. I think it's 80 West Merrick Road, Word of Life Church. The service starts at 7. I'll be teaching, preaching tonight, and then doing book signings for both Hyper Grace and Authentic Fire. So we'll be there in person to sign the books. You can purchase them there. More importantly, get to meet you face-to-face, and you can be in the meeting together. That'll be tonight. Tomorrow morning, the Gospel Cafe at Holding Out Hope Church in Middle Island. All the info is on my website. Go to AskDrBrown.org, right where it says Contact. Just scroll down to Itinerary for the exact address. This is for pastors and leaders, or free breakfast. Pastors and leaders, you can bring other leaders with you from your church, but that's who it is for. 9 to 11, a free breakfast. I'll be talking about these two books, Authentic Fire and Hyper Grace, and then we'll be taking your questions, then doing a book signing, and then Manhattan. Don't miss it. Tomorrow afternoon at the American Bible Society in Manhattan, 1 to 6. So whatever part you can come out for. Joining Kevin McCullough, the two of us will be going back and forth, hosting his show, my show, from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. Then, beginning at 4, I'll be talking about Authentic Fire, Hyper Grace, taking your direct questions face-to-face, and then signing the books for you. If you can only get there at 4, even at 5, it's still worth coming. But get there for live radio face-to-face, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, I want to get your take on this. I want to hear from you about this article that is recirculating, or getting, I should say, a lot of circulation now in light of some recent news. In particular, I want to hear from you, if you're a black American, I just want to hear your honest response, okay? And I'm reading this as a friend. I'm reading this as a colleague and friend. One of my favorite things is when I've been out speaking somewhere and people have listened to me for years, but they've never gone online to see me. Or they'll see me on TV for the first time and they'll say, oh, we didn't know you were white. So I love the fact that what we talk about transcends race and transcends culture and gets us to gospel issues. But this is a cultural thing. There were some recent news reports about some top college athletes, and they were black Americans, top athletes, but could barely read. There was a scandal some years ago about one of the great players on the Washington Redskins, college grad. Turns out he couldn't read. Someone helped him with the tests or took tests for him. Well, there is a Bill Cosby clip that is circulating a lot again. It was sent to me. And this is Bill Cosby speaking. They're standing on the corner. They can't speak English. I can't even talk the way these people talk. Why you ain't, where you is, what he drive, where he stay, where he work, who you be. And I blame the kid until I heard the mother talk. And then I heard the father talk. Everybody knows it's important to speak English except these knuckleheads. You can't be a doctor with that kind of stuff coming out of your mouth. In fact, you'll never get any kind of job making a decent living. People marched or were hit in the face with rocks to get an education, and now we've got these knuckleheads walking around. The lower economic people are not holding up their end in this deal. These people are not parenting. They are buying things for their kids, $500 sneakers for what, and they won't spend $200 for Hooked on Phonics. I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit. Where were you when he was 2? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? And how come you didn't know he had a pistol? And where is the father? And who is his father? People putting their clothes on backwards. Isn't that a sign of something gone wrong? People with their hats on backwards, pants down around the crack. Isn't that a sign of something? Or are you waiting for Jesus to pull his pants up? Isn't it a sign of something when she has her dress all the way up and got all type of needles piercing going through her body? What part of Africa did this come from? We are not Africans. Those people are not Africans. They don't know a thing about Africa. With names like Shaniqua, Taliqua, and Muhammad and all of that stuff, and all of them are in jail. Brown or black versus the Board of Education is no longer the white person's problem. We have got to take the neighborhood back. People used to be ashamed. Today a woman has 8 children with 8 different husbands or men, whatever you call them now. We have millionaire football players who cannot read. We have million-dollar basketball players who can't write 2 paragraphs. We as black folks have to do a better job. Someone working at Walmart with 7 kids, you're hurting us. We have to start holding each other to a higher standard. We can't blame the white people any longer. That's what Bill Cosby said. Those were not my words. That's what Bill Cosby said. And again, this has circulated more because of recent reports about some of these athletes in college who are basically illiterate or simply want to be able to read sports columns that talk about their accomplishments. When you hear those words, do you agree with them? Do they anger you? Do you feel that they are unfair? Do you feel they're accurate, but there's no solution presented? Just wondering. 866-348-7884. And again, I weighed and thought about, do I even want to read this? Because I do not want to be one attacking or sounding hostile. If there are problems and issues, wherever they are in any area of society, white, black, Jewish society, Hispanic society, Asian, wherever, I want to address what's there and then figure out what we can do to stand together and help and bring a solution. But just wondering how you feel when you hear that. 866-34-TRUTH. Just another reminder, friends, that we have put together a really nice package that I trust will be a blessing to you. My Hyper Grace book, 300 plus pages. I'm so pleased to hear the reports from readers who are now telling everyone, you've got to read this. It seems to have really hit home and met a very, very important need. You can get the book together with a CD on God's true grace. I am a grace lover, not a grace hater. You can get the book and the CD, $20. postage paid, so it's a good deal as well. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Right before the break, I read some words from Bill Cosby, a previous statement of his as a black American to other black Americans that is getting a lot of attention now, being shared now in light of recent revelations about some black athletes in college being basically illiterate. Here they are in college and what's going on. I hesitated before reading it, because I did not want to be sitting here as a white American bringing an indictment or pointing a finger or saying things in the way that Bill Cosby did. But because this is live radio, many of you have been listening to me for years and know me well, you know my heart in these things. I want to hear from you. I want to get your feedback, your honest impression. So as long as you can do this within the confines of Christian radio, if you're a listener and you don't hold to our standards and morals, just remember, this is Christian radio, so we do want to approach things in a civil way. But I want to open the phones. I want to hear from you and get your perspective. And let me just say this. A caller may say something that offends you. I didn't say it. The caller said it. But I will take your call responding to that. All right? So we're going to have a conversation. 866-34-TRUTH. Wendell in Boston, thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire. You're up first, sir. Your thoughts.
Hi, these are my thoughts. I had a question first. I was listening to you read the clip. I'm not sure if you read it or not, but I wanted to know if that came from Bill Cosby's book, Come On, People.
I saw it circulated separately. I did not see it referenced to a book at all. It could be, but I'm not aware of it, if that's the case.
Okay, no problem. But that was a quote of Bill Cosby, correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I believe it was from that book, because I read the book in 2009. I remember when the book came out, there was a lot of controversy. A lot of black people had a little negativity towards him about that. But me personally...
Yes, and by the way, I do remember the controversy about these things. And it's just because of some recent news headlines that these things are being discussed again. But back to you, sir.
Oh, okay, that's good. I'd like to find out about the recent headlines also. But I do, personally, I read the book. I thought it was excellent. And I wish more people could read the book and really come to an understanding of what Bill Cosby was trying to convey, especially to black people. I agree with him with everything he wrote in that book, 100%. And I hope somehow, some way, soon we can come up with a reasonable a way to address all those issues as a people in the nation, because it's a big problem.
Got it. And the name of the book again, Wendell, was?
Come On, People.
Got it. All right. Thank you for your call. I appreciate you weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Joanne in Brooklyn, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Hello, Joanne.
Yeah, grace and peace to you, Dr. Brown.
Thank you.
I do agree with Bill Cosby. You know, the Word of God says that you shall know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. And if we as black folks don't embrace the truth, things will be the same as they are. So I agree with him there. It had to take someone with chutzpah to put that out there. And I'm in total agreement with what he's saying. Know the truth and work on it. Be free.
All right, Joanne, thank you very much for the call. I do appreciate also your use of Hebrew Yiddish, chutzpah, to use that word as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Our phone lines are jammed, but keep trying to get through. And as soon as we come back, we're going straight to your calls.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. If you missed yesterday's interview, any part of it, the first hour, this hour, yesterday, I really encourage you to take the time to listen to it. We made it very convenient by putting it up on YouTube, the audio file on YouTube. If you go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest video, you'll be able to listen to it. I really encourage you to. I think it's a very important interview and one that will get you praying with a burden as well. All right, recent news reports about some black college athletes who were illiterate or almost illiterate stirred further recent conversation, because of which an older quote from Bill Cosby has been circulating a lot online, where he says we've got to do better and bring about change. And he expresses things as a black man that I could never say, as a white man, I could never say them the way he does. When he was on Meet the Press back in 2007, he said this: I've also said our children are trying to tell us something and we're not listening. You've got to listen to these children. You can't feel that they're that well, it's the system, and that's why. No, bring your children in. If you say that my black child is going to do more time for selling crack cocaine than your white child for selling cocaine, then I'm going to tell my black child, don't sell it. Here's what's happening, son. It's the same as warning your kid that the Ku Klux Klan is coming. Don't tell me you can't help it. I'm not reading these things to be provocatory, but to give you an opportunity to weigh in with your viewpoint so others in a national audience can hear your viewpoint and interact with you. Let's go to Baltimore. Al in Baltimore, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it certainly is a pleasure to be on your show. I've listened to you quite some time now. Bought a few books from you, and really like your in-depthness about the salvation of Christ and how you feel about him being the Messiah. Really, really love your work. On that subject, a couple things. It is indeed true what the comment was saying about young blacks. But the ironic thing is, even though Mr. Cosby is an advocate for education, I've never heard him own up to that particular statement. And on the other hand, not only are young black people doing these things with the pants down and the rap and all that, but what we don't hear about is a lot of young white kids are also doing this. And not only white kids, Mexicans, Hispanics, the Mormons, right? They're kids sneaking off and listening to rap music, you know. Mm-hmm. So I believe it's not a gender thing, but like you said, Dr. Brown, it's a sin issue here, and it's it's flagging everybody, and it's going around everywhere to all genders, black, white, yellow, brown, you name it. And that gap is growing increasingly, and it's getting wider and wider, and it's time to pray, Doc. That's all I can say.
Got it. Hey, Al, thank you first for your very kind words. I really appreciate it. And thank you for the comments, Al, saying, yeah, it's true. But it's not just true for one ethnicity. It's much more widespread, and it's a much bigger problem. 866-34-TRUTH. Linda in Temple Hills, Maryland, what's your take on the comments?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to comment, and I appreciate your show very much. I agree with the last caller. It is a spiritual issue. It's impossible to try to convince people who have been marginalized, social-wise, economic-wise, and they've been disadvantaged generation after generation after generation. It's nearly impossible to try to reach them, you know, with reason that they should change their ways. I had a personal experience with a family like that, and after they started coming to church and they gave their lives to the Lord, they changed. The women began wearing, they went out and bought some dresses and skirts to wear to church rather than tight pants and tight-fitting, low-cut tops, and they took off all the excess makeup, and then one of them told me, she said, we've got to learn how to talk, because they were talking the way Bill Cosby described in his book, and she suddenly became aware, my whole family has to learn how to speak correctly. And so it is, it's a work, it's a missionary work for the church in the inner cities and other places where large groups of people have been, you know, have been disadvantaged severely. And they so much want to fit in their communities that they, you know, they adopt these substandard ways of speaking and doing and so forth. And another thing is that the drug infiltration here in the United States hit more heavily, I believe, in those economically disadvantaged communities than in more wealthy communities. And that drug phenomena tended to lower people's standards and all of that. So that's had a big effect on the people, too. So we've got to love them and reach out to them spiritually, help them to get, get a relationship with the Lord, and we'll see the necessary changes take place.
All right. Hey, Linda, thank you very much for weighing in, and thanks for your kind words about the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back. I was on my way back to Brooklyn, but I'm not going to make it right yet. Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia. Lavinia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Glad to be out from the cold. I'm not quite as good in the cold as I used to be. Otherwise, I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking.
Dr. Brown, I really appreciate your show, and you're hitting on some of the main topics that need to be addressed in the Christian community. I wanted to add a comment to it. I think that we need to get back to Bible teachings and the United States today. I think we've gotten away from the values of the family being that one woman marries one man in the biblical teachings. We've allowed, like you said, culture to dictate to the church instead of the church standing up for what is righteousness, what God's word is built on. Being that I just moved to the area in the last 2 years, I'm doing substitute teaching in the Fairfax County. And
What is it? Is it by grade or by subject?
It's by grade and by subject. I'm usually doing middle school to high school.
Okay, and so what are you finding?
I'm finding that our kids have no value system. When I've kind of did a survey of the classes asking how many kids went to church, how many read their Bible, less than half the class would raise their hand. And this could be anywhere from 20 to 30 students in a class.
And did you find this to be across ethnic groups as well? Did it be kind of universal?
Universal.
Yep.
With Hispanic, white, and black kids. And like the gentleman said, with the trend with the pants halfway down, wearing their pants halfway down, That has been in the school system, and it started with the fact that the kids don't know, they don't have a standard. We need to set a standard again. In particular, when I was growing up, I would say at the age of 12, my parents wasn't very rich. My father was active duty military in the Army, and my mother was a homemaker. At the time my parents got a divorce, I lived with my grandparents for a short period of time, and it was out on a farm, and they taught us how to go out and have a good work ethic by working, picking crops in the field, that kind of thing. And it was mandatory, whether we were a Christian or not, to be in church every Sunday. So we knew what the standard of God was. And if we choose to obey it or not when we became an adult, that was up to us, but we were taught it.
And yeah, what a different world. I've got a break coming up, Lavinia, but thanks for weighing in, both with a past and present perspective. What a different world it was. A lot of foundations are under attack. We do have the solution in God, and as families, what are we going to do? We'll be right back.
Of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, if you live on Long Island, where are you going to be at 7 o'clock tonight? I know where you're going to be. You say, how do I know? What? I know where you're going to be. How do I know? Well, because you're going to be at 80 West Merrick Road, Freeport, New York, Word of Life Church, to meet me there. I'll be speaking at the service and then greeting you face-to-face at our book table, where I'll be signing copies of both Hyper Grace and Authentic Fire. We'll have the books. In fact, this will be the very first time we have publicly had these books out together. That's how new they are. And then tomorrow morning, Pastors Leaders, Suffolk County, 9 a.m. That will be at Middle Island at Holding Out Hope Church in the Gospel Cafe. Free breakfast and then talking about the books and book signing. And then if you're in Manhattan, be sure to make your way over to the American Bible Society. Anytime between 1 and 6, there'll be live radio with Kevin McCullough and me from 1 to 4. Then I'll be talking about Hyper Grace, Authentic Fire, taking your questions about the books face to face, and then doing a book signing there. That's 1 to 6, American Bible Society, 1865 Broadway. The article that came out, it's updated now as of today. Sarah Ganim on CNN says this: some college athletes play like adults, read like fifth graders. There's a discussion about this. Former basketball star Isaiah Thomas responds to this discussion in an ongoing way on CNN. And because of this, there has been circulation of an older quote from Bill Cosby, where he talks about the condition of black America as a black man, talks about the lack of education and standards and so on, and multiple kids with different fathers, things I could never say as a white man and would never say in this way. The question is, what's your response? I've just been listening, taking calls. I'm going to continue to do that. 866-34-TRUTH. Dave in, I was all the way going out of South Carolina. That's not going to happen. Let's go to Brentwood, Long Island, probably not too far from where I am this very moment. Andrea, welcome to the Line of Fire. What's your response to the Bill Cosby comments?
Thank you. I really agree with your last call. I started reading the Bible and looking for God, not so much for myself at the beginning. I started doing it for my kids. I had teenagers, and I really wanted to guide them, through a better way. At 16, I had already had my second child, and I was a high school dropout, and I didn't want that for my kids, So I'm always, wanting the best for them. I have my oldest now, thank God, she's in her second year of college, and then my second one, this is her last year in high school. So it is, going back to the Bill Cosby thing, it's very true what he says. You know, it may be strong words, but it's true. It starts at home. And some of us, we have to try to want the best for our kids. We can't, you know, raise them the way that maybe we were raised or you know, teach them the bad that we know. And definitely, you know, seeking God. And you know, I hear so many people always trying to find ways to make God not real. And you know, although I myself had doubts on God and his existence, I seeked him in the Bible because I knew it showed, you know, it was going to show my kids a better way, you know, of how to behave and maybe like a fear. And then in that, you know, in teaching my kids that, I myself started learning. And we now go to this church that we're so happy and we're involved. And, you know, I've been going there for over a year already and 6 months. And I love it, you know, because when I hear my children teaching other kids, like, you know, things that they've learned in the Bible, if you know, this child's having problems with the mom and they want to run away or they hate their mom, and then these positive words that come out of my kid's mouth, and I'm like, wow, I thank the Lord. But again, if it wasn't because I wanted the best for my kids, I would have never opened the Bible. You know, I started doing it for them. So a lot of parents have to stop blaming, you know, another race or other people or the schools, you know. It's us. We have to try to want something better for our kids.
All right. Hey, Andrea, thanks for sharing all that and for the eloquence with which you did it. Thanks for the good testimony. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Queens, New York. John, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. How are you doing this evening?
Doing very well. Thank you, sir.
Basically, I totally agree with what Dr. Bill Cosby is saying, but as one caller rightly said, you know, it's something deeper than that. C.S. Lewis put it brilliantly in one of his books, The Abolition of Man, and the whole issue is with man. If you keep a man ignorant, and there's one statement that has been said, if you want to hide anything from a black man, put it in the book. But more so today, men on the whole don't read, and if we need to understand our identity, then we have to have a familiarity with words. And Jesus Christ, he wrote in words, and the Torah, the Tanakh, was written in words. And based upon deconstructionism and all the likes today, based upon relativism, words no longer carry the meaning. So if we understand the philosophy that we are being fed from the curriculum of the institution that our children and our parents have been educated in, then we will start to understand the time and be like the sons of Issachar, understanding the time and knowing what to do. We got to take a stand and listen and understand the philosophy that we are being fed by our pastors, by our society, by our media, all, and now be able to think clearly, not to think on these things, but how to think accurately and knowing the truth and being set free and making free liberty our sons and our daughters, and more so our sons, because if we don't have strong men and great men, then we don't have families, we don't have a future of generation. And I just want to contribute that this evening. You're doing a wonderful job. Continue doing it and continue lifting the bar and the standard. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, John, and thanks for your eloquence and passion as well. All right. We're coming to the end of this hour. Phone lines are jammed, so I am going to change direction for the second hour so that you that have been wanting to get through will be able to. So if you can just hold for just a few minutes, we'll be getting to your comments very early in the next hour. If you're unable to, you want to hear the discussion, just go to my website later today, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on Latest Audio. You'll be able to hear 2 full hours later today. Friends, if you believe in the work we're doing and want to stand with us and help us, just basically $1 a day, you can be a torchbearer, one of our team of monthly supporters that form the nucleus of this ministry, the support base of this ministry, and enable us to be on the air and do so many things we're doing. Just go to my website and click on donate, and you can stand with us as a monthly donor. We always send out a special gift to you, a book, and every month you get a new message from us, a new audio message, special prayer update letter that tells you things happening before others know it and share great testimonies as well. You can do that all on our website, or you can call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, it's always easy to point fingers at others. Whatever the situation is, let's look to God and ourselves and say, how can we bring about change? Well, the Word of God says that the foundations are destroyed. What will the righteous do? Well, what happens when you tamper with the very foundations of human society? I'm talking about marriage and the family.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you can hear me on Hope Radio on Long Island right now, welcome to the broadcast. We're doing a special bonus hour as I'm out on the island getting ready to speak tonight and then be on the island again tomorrow morning and Manhattan tomorrow afternoon. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Last hour, I began by talking about what happens when you redefine marriage and family. What happens when you tamper with the foundations? I was talking about the increased move towards polyamory and now kids raised in polyamorous homes. Some are saying, we don't like it. You weren't thinking about me when you entered into these multiple relationships. And I wrote an article called Poly is Not Always Jolly. You can read it by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on latest article. It's talking about Utah relaxing some of the restrictions about polygamy or looking at the option of redefining marriage in that respect, and attorneys saying, hey, you can't have liberty for redefined marriage for same-sex couples and not do it for others as well. Yeah, it's a fundamental redefinition of marriage. Reminds us of the essential importance of doing things God's way from the foundation up, marriage, family, relationships, how we live, what we believe, the conduct of our lives. It ultimately affects society as a whole. Former heavyweight boxing champion Evander Holyfield was on a British reality TV show. One of the participants was speaking positively about homosexuality and about it being normal. Evander Holyfield said it ain't normal. Kids born with a leg and it's crooked, you send them to the doctor to get it fixed. It's not normal. You can change. And I found out behind the scenes what was reported to me was someone working for Evander Holyfield said, yes, someone in his church talked about coming out of homosexuality and change being possible, and that apparently fed into his thinking as well. Of course, he's been castigated for it, kind of a big brother watching type of thing, literally on that show. We do not talk like this. It may be your viewpoint, but you do not talk like this. Kind of scary thing to witness. Some things are unacceptable, especially in England and America and other countries these days. You shall not differ. Well, I was talking about some of these things. I hadn't mentioned the Evander Holyfield situation yet. Talked about them for a little while and said, hey, I want to broach a subject. Our phone lines have been jammed, and I'm going to go right back to the phones very shortly. I said, I want to broach another subject, but I want to do it with sensitivity. Those who've been listening to me for years know that my heart is for the whole body and for all of society. And for some reason, as a white American Jew, I've always felt a special kinship with my black brothers and sisters in worship, in solidarity of spirit. It's been hard for me to define all the reasons, but what's evident to me is there's a certain kind of similar soul, passion. I always joke about it, also clapping on the upbeat, you know, as a drummer, you know, the rhythm, the vitality. Maybe a history, as much as Jews have been prosperous in America in many ways, but we both come out of slavery. And so I'm always real sensitive. I'll talk about race issues, but so we can be constructive and learn from each other. And there was a recent article on CNN some college athletes play like adults and read like fifth graders. As a result of this, a comment from Bill Cosby a few years ago has been circulating a lot. I'm going to read that and go straight to your calls so you can give me your impression when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, it is an open secret that some school systems, difficult situations, kids just get passed on to the next class, somehow make it into college, and are basically illiterate. How do these things happen? Boy, that is a big, 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 massive, important, and difficult question. But because of this article and news report on CNN, some college athletes play like adults, read like fifth graders, and in particular notice this being the case with black student athletes, a quote from Bill Cosby from a few years back has been circulating a lot again. I'm simply reading what he says. I'm not making this accusation. I'm reading what he says. And then as soon as I finish, straight back to the phones for your honest response, 866-34-TRUTH. He says, they're standing on the corner. They can't speak English. I can't even talk the way these people talk. Why you ain't, where you is, what he drive, where he stay, where he work, who you be. And I blame the kid until I heard the mother talk. Then I heard the father talk. Everybody knows it's important to speak English, except these knuckleheads. You can't be a doctor with that kind of stuff coming out of your mouth. In fact, you'll never get any kind of job making a decent living. People marched and were hit in the face with rocks to get an education. Now we've got these knuckleheads walking around. The lower economic people are not holding up their end in this deal. These people are not parenting. They're buying things for kids, $500 sneakers for what? They won't spend $200 for Hooked on Phonics. I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit. Where were you when he was 2? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? And how come you didn't know he had a pistol? And where is the father? Or who is his father? People pulling their clothes on backward. Isn't that a sign of something gone wrong? People with their hats on backward, pants down around their crack. Isn't that a sign of something? Or are you waiting for Jesus to pull his pants up? Isn't it a sign of something when she has her dress all the way up and got all types of needles piercing going through her body? What part of Africa did this come from? We are not Africans. Those people are not Africans. They don't know a thing about Africa with names like Shaniqua, Taliqua, and Muhammad and all of that stuff, and all of them are in jail. Brown or black versus the Board of Education is no longer the white person's problem. We've got to take the neighborhood back. People used to be ashamed. Today a woman has 8 children with 8 different husbands or men or whatever you call them now. We have millionaire football players who cannot read. We have million-dollar basketball players who can't write 2 paragraphs. We as black folk have to do a better job. Someone working at Walmart with 7 kids, you're hurting us. We have to start holding each other to a higher standard. We cannot blame the white people any longer. That's what Bill Cosby said a few years ago. The quote circulating again a lot this day. I want your honest feedback. I want you to interact with me. That is the benefit of having a live radio show where you can weigh in and air your thoughts for many others to hear. We'll start in I was going to Virginia, but I won't make it there. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York. I was going to Brooklyn. These folks were with us moments ago. Let's go to, 3 out of 3. Let's go to, what it means, though, is we finally have some open phone lines, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tiana in Boston. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks so much for calling.
Good afternoon, Michael. I'm so glad that you was able to get through to me. I just want to say that I think it's such a blessing that you put this on a national forefront, because I've been talking to a lot of people about this. I am the mother of not a one-year-old. I have 1 child, and she's 8. And I just graduated from college with my bachelor's in nursing. And I find it that with her being in grade school, when you send your child to school, you're one of these parents that are in a disadvantaged neighborhood, and you're working, you're trying to do everything that you need to do to put a roof over your child's head. So many parents are out here juggling so many different things that teachers aren't really teaching. They're pushing packets. And The kids are just sitting there. They're bored. They don't care. And it's just about getting the child to the next grade. And I heard you say that at the beginning of the show. Like, how do you have somebody who's in a classroom for 8 hours a day and they get to college and you just now find out that they can't read? That's not all on the parents. You have to say, if somebody is going to school, going to college to be a teacher, and they've been a teacher for, they've been going to school for 4 years, they have all these school loans, and then you sit them in a classroom with kids and they're not teaching, well, that speaks to, like, you as a professional, why are you not doing your job, and why are we not holding our teachers accountable? Because there are a lot of parents out here that they're doing what they need to do. They're sending their child to school. They're, you know, trying to help them with their homework. They're instilling values in them. School is important. Get up, go to school, learn, pay attention in class. But we don't have the degrees to teach our kids how to read. That's like a special type of training that, in order to teach somebody how to read, teach somebody algebra, teach somebody multiplication. I can't do it. I can, you know, maybe talk to somebody about diabetes, but to teach them how, teach a young child who's just learning how to read, no.
Right.
That should fall all on a parent, because teachers are there for 8 hours. And if a child cannot come home and tell me what they've learned for 8 hours, then I feel like that's not necessarily the parent's fault. That's the teacher. And as well, we as parents need to not put so much focus on things that don't really matter in the long run, like clothes and money and all this other stuff. We need to instill in them that education is important. But like I said, you know, if you're sending your child to school and you're doing that, you are telling your child that education is important.
Right. So you're making that effort, and you are looking not to the school to raise your kid for you, but at least to help educate your kid. So, right, a bigger problem, for sure, a larger issue. Thanks for focusing on that, and thanks for sharing your own story. I appreciate it. And let me just say this, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me just say this. We are simply getting your response to these comments and your interaction, and this may stir further action from some, or further prayer or further awareness. It may be frustrating to address an issue and not have solutions across the board, but at least by talking about it, it pushes us to think about and work towards and pray for more solutions. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's stay in Boston for a moment. Pierre, welcome to the Line of Fire.
The Line of Fire. Thank you all for taking my call. Good evening.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, I mean, while all of us agreed about whatever Bill Cosby has said, nevertheless, I haven't heard anything in terms of solution.
Mm-hmm.
When I came, I'm coming from Haiti. When I came from Haiti, I came here, I hated Black Americans. I hate them because of all of the hebo, what Bill Cosby had said. But when I started going to school and I started to understand a lot of things in this country, so I stopped and I asked myself questions. I came to the conclusion about, you know, there is no effect without cause. So what are we watching about the attitude of the Black American, the way they are, or whatever the 77% that are in jail is the effect. But what about the cause? You know, when I came and I heard about all the conspiracy about, you know, how drugs is involved, they brought drugs in the communities, how they bring guns in the communities. So we cannot expect anything more than that. Because fortunately, I was raised in Haiti, where I have a mom and a dad, and I have family around me if I do anything or to help. But think about a kid that is born without a father, or even the father was there before the kids get to 2 years old. his dad is already in jail. So, the thing is, our family, the black people family, the American, the black American family, they keep on separate us. They keep on putting us apart. Therefore, when you have a society like that, you cannot expect anything different. Let's say, for instance.
Yeah, and just real quick, we're just about at a break. What are you saying is the bottom line issue?
Yes, anything that happened in the society now, anything that happened, the government will take a time to study. Say, hey, this is the situation we have. How to resolve it? But this thing keep on dragging. But I haven't heard any solution.
Let me just say this. As I said a moment before I picked up the phone to speak with you, we are airing out a discussion today and saying, do you agree with the analysis of the problem? Do you agree it's a fair analysis? And if there are solutions, we can start talking about them. At the very least, we can talk about your response to the analysis, and then in future broadcasts, say, okay, what are problems? How can we together address them?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When you find some time, about 45 minutes total you'll need, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, or do it in 5, 10, 15-minute increments, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest video. We put up the audio on YouTube of my interview yesterday with Frank Schaefer, the defrocked Methodist pastor who was defrocked to his shock for performing the same-sex so-called marriage ceremony for his son and another male partner. It was a very candid interview, very important interview, one that was conducted with civility, one that I think you really need to listen to. It's eye-opening, and you'll want to pray for him and his family. We're getting your responses to comments made several years ago by Bill Cosby as a black American to fellow black Americans. This comment is being circulated again these days in light of a CNN analysis where they noticed, began to report in different schools about college athletes, football, basketball. They could play like adults but read like fifth graders. That's what caused the Cosby comments to be circulated afresh. Getting your input, your thoughts, let's go to Dallas, Texas. Seth, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, and it's good that you are on the air. I wanted to just say I'm a first-time caller. I'm a little bit concerned, though, why probably a show that probably is going to be listened to by a lot of white people is covering the weakness of another group of people, especially when you use a comedian, not a voice in our community. We have a lot of black psychologists that have tackled this subject, doing very well. Bill Cosby is not respected among a lot of black people on this level, but he tells really good jokes. Let me say this. Black youth and black people is still in a type of slavery. What Bill Cosby and this show is about today is the exploitation of young males. People want to treat these young people as though they're the problem, they're ignorant, they're irresponsible. But those young people is doing what pressure from powerful white people have forced them to do. Powerful white people say,
am I one of those powerful white people in your mindset?
I can't say that right now. I don't know you.
Yeah. How long have you been listening to the show?
Today. I don't know who you are. I'm just commenting.
Seth. So hang on. I hate to say this, but all you did is mouth ignorance just now. I'm not saying about the rest of your statement, but if you had been listening the previous hour, you would have heard that virtually every caller was a black American, and they know me very well, and they know that I'm the exact opposite of what you just portrayed. They'd be embarrassed listening to you.
When I go out and speak,
and I do a listener rally, a very large percentage, if not a majority, are Black Americans. And many times when they meet me, they say, "Oh, we didn't know you were white." So I couch these things to say, as a white man, I could not say this and would not say this, but I want to get responses. So I'm happy to get your response, and you have every right to share it. And I'm not trying to get people to agree. I am airing this out with sensitivity. Your error, though, was to couch things in a way that made false accusations based on ignorance about someone that discredits the rest of what you have to say. And you may have some great observations, sir, but it discredits it and undermines it when you couch it in falsehood.
I'm not including you, sir. I do applaud you. I have to give you credit. I do applaud you for having this show on, okay? But what I'm saying is, sir, these young people are powerless. I've learned something in social science. Never blame the poor for a world trend or a national trend. They don't have the power to do it. These young boys are exploited. These high schools need them for the numbers. Colleges need them to increase enrollment. The pros need them to make money. Everybody's making money. If they say to those kids, "You don't pass, you don't play," you would not be covering this show. But it's because powerful white people, not necessarily talking about you, okay? Powerful white people have to have these boys doing what they're doing. It's just another type of slavery. And it just saddens me as a Black male, Christian male, when I hear shows, not necessarily shows, but when I hear the angle that it's, and you're not quite saying this, but there are some shows that do make it like it's the Black male's fault. These, like ignorant Bill Cosby.
Oh, no. But see, I wouldn't do that. And listen, Seth, I was not actually focusing on athletes. You make a very, very important point, which is somebody is complicit in these kids playing in college. Somebody is complicit in letting them in and knowing the setting and knowing the educational background. And schools are overloaded and are just passing kids, athletes and non-athletes. It's a massive problem. I wasn't focusing on athletes, nor would I ever point the finger at the child. I'd raise issues about parents, but these are larger societal issues. And again, your comments are 100% welcome. 100% welcome. My only issue, and we will never make progress unless we can talk to each other rather than talk past each other. And I talked a lot with the death of Trayvon Martin and the acquittal of George Zimmerman to try to talk through race issues and understand things. And I said, you know, it seems to me that white Americans have this blind spot that when there is racism, they don't see it. And Black Americans have the blind spot of seeing racism when it isn't there. Those observations allowed us to talk to each other and help each other with blind spots. So, sir, I'm not disputing larger issues and student athletes and complicity and larger issues with larger society, nor am I pointing a finger at the kids. But I do believe, especially people who've listened to me for some time, that I've earned the right to say, hey, let's talk about this. But again, I've got a break. The reason I broached the subject was so that people could weigh in and share their thoughts. So, Seth, you did it in a very articulate way. Thank you for airing that. I only took exception to the way you painted me and the broadcast. But the larger issue, that's why I put it on the table. And thank you for articulating that. I do appreciate it. And may the Lord's blessing be on you. Hopefully we'll meet face to face one of these days. You may agree totally with Seth. You may have a totally different take. We've got one line open, 866-34-TRUTH. But we're going to come right back and get to all of your calls. You can respond to what Seth said or simply interact with your own comments on Bill Cosby. But that's where we're having this discussion. I didn't ask anyone to agree with me because I haven't given a position. My position is I want to hear from you about these comments from some years back from Bill Cosby. Okay, remember, the Hyper Grace book is now available, and we've packaged it together with a message, a CD message on God's true grace. I believe together you will be lifted in grace as well as separated from error as you read this and listen to the CD. $20, postage paid for both. 1-800-278-9978, the number to call. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to AskDrBrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks so much, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. If you're listening on Long Island Live, it's because I am here on the island and ready to connect with you. In 3.5 hours in Freeport, Long Island, 80 West Merrick Road, I'll be speaking at Word of Life Church. And then after the service, doing a book signing for my books, Hyper Grace and Authentic Fire. We'll have both of them there. Hyper Grace, which exposes the dangers of the modern grace movement. Authentic Fire, which is my response to Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire book. 866-34-TRUTH. In light of a recent CNN report about student college athletes who could barely read, some comments from Bill Cosby as a black American, two other black Americans from a few years back have been circulating. They got a lot of stir play when they came out a few years back. I, as a white American, could not and would not say things in this way. And wherever there are problems, white America, black America, Hispanic America, as a Jew, I can look at Jewish America, wherever the issues are, and then constantly I focus on issues within the church as a believer. Wherever the issues are, we stand together to address them and to help move things forward. That being said, all I want is your response. I do not have a position on this except to listen to you. So it's not a matter of agreeing or disagreeing with me. It's your response to the Bill Cosby comments and the comments from our last caller, Seth. Very much differing with the comments and differing with Bill Cosby's ability to be a spokesman for black America are 100% welcome. The only thing I take issue with is someone saying I don't have a right as a white American to discuss these issues. Hey, we are fellow Americans, fellow human beings, and above all in Jesus, fellow believers. And we talk to be constructive, not destructive. All right, let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Gina, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
As I listen to this conversation as it goes along, I, in my mind I'm thinking, well, where do you start on these issues? And I have found within my own personal experience that there is some truth in what Mr. Cosby has pointed out. But in my own ministry, which I've spent quite a bit of time in urban ministry, I've found that the answers, I believe, will have to come from the African-American church. It will have to be a change of the mentality. And what I have also seen in during this time is that there's a resistance to truth. And when things are when people are confronted with truth, I found that there is a resistance to that. And one of the things that
just generically about human beings, that when we are confronted with truth, we tend to resist it.
True. And
got
I
it.
Found that in dealing with the urban ministry where we have been, that there's just a mentality there. Of not so much the individuals wanting to help them, wanting a helping hand, they want a hand out. And as far as these schools, I think that are passing these student athletes who eventually are identified as illiterate Americans, it's a reflection of the values of our country, and it's a reflection of the fact that when you go to college, these college football coaches are paid millions of dollars to coach a team. And that's where we're putting our emphasis. And
And let me just jump in. And it's as a team wins, it brings in tons of money for the school. These are large societal issues, multi faceted. And the thing to do is say, okay, where is there truth in identifying the problem, and how can we work together to bring about change? Back with your calls, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, totally changing the subject for 1 second, but as I've been in the midst of controversy over John MacArthur's Strange Fire and my Authentic Fire book, I always feel like he's my dear friend. You say, what? He's never spoken to you and hasn't consented to sit with you face to face. How do you feel that way? Well, first, we're brothers in Jesus, and I do so appreciate the good that he does. But I have a live feed in my ear during the show because this goes across the nation. So there's a satellite feed. So you're hearing different things on your local stations, but I'm hearing kind of a repeat feed with certain voices. I'll often hear a Ravi Zacharias minute piece or a David Jeremiah piece. So I often hear John MacArthur over the course of the day, as I mentioned in the preface to my Authentic Fire book. And I love what he has to say. I love hearing his voice. I love the message of Jesus. So I actually have this feeling when I hear his voice, oh, that's Pastor MacArthur. It's warm and it's positive. I mean that from my heart. Not to say he's hostile towards me. Obviously, we're in very different, come from very different sides of this issue here. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH, getting your feedback, comments on some older comments of Bill Cosby that are being circulated again afresh. Let's go to Manassas, Virginia. Mary, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Good, good. You know, I'm a Black American, and I agree with Bill Cosby's statements, and unfortunately, that segment of our society is growing. From my history, I come from that segment of society, and I know the young lady that you took the call from before you took my call, spoke of urban missions and urban ministries, and I think that's a great way to approach the problem. I think one of the problems that I see with so many people who try to do urban ministries and urban missions is there is an us and them mentality when mm-hmm. really from the white church
yeah.
and from more affluent Black churches, it should be we, you know, we're created in God's image. We're God's people. So it should be more of a brotherhood and not a us and them mentality. And mm-hmm. actually, you know, for me, what I had to do is I think integration is very important. I had to not totally come out of my, you know, hood, so to speak, but I had to reach out of my comfort zone and comfort level and interact with white folks and interact with more affluent people. And now I'm going to a more racially integrated church where there are Indians, there are Asians, there are Africans, there are Black Americans, and then I'm in Manassas, Virginia. So we have
yeah, you have more ability to be in that setting in Manassas yeah. as well.
Yeah, and people would say that they're rednecks there. But I force myself to integrate. And I'll tell you how deep this is for me. I think I have a son who's serving a 25-year prison sentence.
Oh, my.
And It was a part of, you know, our community, his upbringing, his lack of his, you know, father being present. And I've been a believer, you know, since then. But just the difficulties of, you know, I've felt some type of entrapment in poverty. And I've always worked. I didn't take welfare, food stamps. I could have taken food stamps because I qualified, but I felt, you know, I can work, I can sew, I can make money, and now I own my own business. And it's still a struggle. I'm still stuck in the middle of not quite making enough, but still I have, you know, payroll taxes to pay. So I think I'm going to continue to integrate and learn from the other communities. And, you know, my big dream is that maybe I can open manufacturing pillows or drapes or something or some type of product and bring jobs to my community. And bring the gospel to the community, because I know the gospel is the answer. You know, that's what turned my life around. And, you know, I'm 51, and I'm on a trajectory, you know, toward, you know, a better life. I'm not there yet, but, you know, it's all good because I'm with Christ, and I know I'm in his hand and in his care. And, you know, like the song says, he commands my destiny.
Yeah. But, hey, Mary, and then, Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to jump in. I honestly, I could listen to you for the rest of the show, and what you're saying is inspiring, challenging everyone, wherever their background, because we can always feel like the underdog or the world is against me, and sometimes it is. We can have the attitude of being overcomers in Jesus, but I want to thank you for being who you are and for your for the hope that you put out to others in the Lord. And you know, look, it's not every day that I'm talking to someone who says I've got a son in prison 24 years. That may be the case, but I'm not hearing that. I've still got that in the pit of my stomach, the pain of that. But we pray with you that God will turn everything that was meant for evil for good, and that the story of redemption you share would be one that is holistically received by people of all colors, all backgrounds, that find themselves in difficult situations. Hey, thank you, Mary. Our phone lines have just been so jammed. I want to get to as many others as possible, but you blessed us with that call. Thank you so much. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. Henry, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
All right, Mike. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, sir.
All right, I've been praying for you on your various trips, and so just stay safe out there.
You
know,
thank
now you. By the way, I do appreciate your obedience to the Holy Spirit in the Authentic Five book, because I just want to say that as well. Got to get that in. Okay, next. Now, when Bill Cosby made these comments several years ago, you know, I've read Bill Cosby's autobiography at least three times. And when he made these comments several years ago, he was like a voice crying in the wilderness. I mean, nobody was saying anything. And basically all he's saying is that the people who are involved in the various music industries, rap industries, multimedia industries, that they need to be careful about the kind of message that they send out. There was a gentleman on from Jamaican Radio saying the same thing today. And that is correct, because as a minister, I can see the result of what happens when you put trash in, you get trash out. So I just want to encourage the rest of the community. You know, you can't put your head under the sand about this kind of stuff. You really got to wake up and wise up. You know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And Bill doesn't consider himself a, quote, religious man. He considers himself pretty much a self-made man. So it's not like these comments have been made by, like, a Billy Graham.
Yeah, and I mean, he makes a passing reference to Jesus saying Jesus is going to fix this for you. In other words, what are you going to do? Henry, I appreciate you weighing in.
Yeah.
And again, I'm putting this subject out to hear from you, to get feedback. And here's what I'm struck with. And again, Henry, thanks for praying for me on my trips, ministry trips. What I'm struck by is the fact that from all perspectives, we have a lot of issues that we have to figure out how to address. And airing the issue, talking about it, is one thing, but we must in future broadcasts prayerfully say, okay, what constructive comments can we make wherever? I'm not pointing fingers in any direction. I'm saying, what can we do together before the Lord to help bring about change? We'll stay in Atlanta. Elton, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to give a different perspective. I am a Black American, but my background is I grew up in a white neighborhood for the first 18 years of my life. I also have my family's heritage from the Caribbean, Trinidad and Tobago. So I've lived a few years there. And then I'm in my 40s now, early 40s, and most of my life has been living from 18 on in more Black American culture. So mm-hmm. I've seen a vast diversity. And I see the problem more that the cultures are different within the Black community. So if you look at the statistics on education for, say, Western Africans, Nigerians, and so on, in this country, they are some of the highest educated group of people, more than Chinese Americans or Korean Americans, with PhDs. And for Caribbeans, in New York City, they're some of the highest wage earners in the New York City area. So the issue is not necessarily with Black Americans. It's something in the country.
All right. Hey, listen, I've got to jump in there. You have raised a massively important observation. Matt, I want to make sure we come back to that in future discussions. Thank you, sir, for weighing in.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Whatever situation we find ourselves in, whatever ethnic background, whatever race, whatever color, with the Lord, all things are possible, and by His grace, change can come, even if society is against you, even if circumstances are against you. Clarence Thomas said, good manners will open doors that the best education cannot. There are certain things that parents can impart to kids, and if the parents don't have it, then by God's grace, they can learn it to give. This is across the board for all of us. Whatever the situation, whatever hardship you've been through, whatever odds have been against you that some of us can't relate to or understand, if you have the victim mentality, speaking across the board for all of us, I have to deal with this in my own life when things come up or go against me. If you have the victim mentality, you don't have God's heart, and you're sure to come out on the short end of the stick. If you have the mentality of whatever society or sin or Satan or circumstances have brought against me, by God's grace, these stumbling blocks can become stepping stones. Then, with the Lord, all things can work together for good. We'll go to Charlotte, North Carolina again. Eliyahu, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm a first-time caller. I love listening to you on the way home from work.
Well, thank you.
God bless you, bro. I was just going to say, I was going to make a comment. I'm an African-American, and I heard Bill Cosby's comments, and I just thought they are valuable, and they are accurate, but specifically for a subsection of the African-American population. And I think my concern as an African-American is that most of the time we get lumped together, you know, for people that we have no control over. I mean, I most certainly, my kids are 6 years old is the oldest and 2 is the youngest, but I don't want them to be judged for what some sports star or what some thug rat, you know, in the hood decides he or she is going to do. And I think that's the problem why many African Americans are so sensitive about mm-hmm. these issues when they're shared mm-hmm. outside of our community, because we get kind of lumped together. We get judged for that in a way the white community never would. I mean, nobody's going to judge, you know, let's say your average, American for something Paris Hilton does.
Or you're not going to say, because the great majority of serial killers are white, therefore whites are serial killers.
Precisely. You wouldn't.
Now by the way, you have the name Eliyahu, the good Hebrew name for Elijah.
Yes.
Of course, when it comes to Jews are corporately guilty. You know, you've got Jewish atheists. Right. But my thought is, as we discuss these things, it's calls like this and like the last caller that bring these things to a wider audience that would not normally talk about them. and understand them. So your call is a very important reminder of the tendency, be it of white Americans or others, to group people together. And if there is a valid problem in one subset of one part of society, then right. you paint with a broad brush. And what does that help? Helps nothing, and it's not truthful either.
Precisely. And that's what I'm kind of concerned about when I hear that, because, you know, America's past really has tended to paint all African Americans in a certain way. And it's only really recently that it's been seen, well, that's not really the case. I mean, there's black people who are, you know, stupid, crazy things. There's black people who do wonderful things. And there's people in between who just go to work every day. And I just wanted to make sure that that's also, you know, addressed. Gee, you know,
yes,
if I go out there with my kids, I don't want to be, you know, profiled. I don't want people to look at me or them, especially, as though, hey, you know, maybe you play football and, you know, can't talk right or something like that. I mean, the guy has...
Right, or to see a tall black man and be surprised he doesn't play basketball. But, you know, again, one thing that came up, and we discussed a lot about the tragic death of Trayvon Martin and the whole trial with George Zimmerman, is that the vast majority of white Americans cannot relate to the profiling issue at all. It has not been part of our past or our background. We will not look at police with the same suspicion. And that's why we have to talk together as fellow Americans, and in particular as fellow believers. So, Eliyahu, thank you, sir, for the call. I would talk longer, but again, our phone lines are jammed. I'm trying to get to as many as possible. But please hear what our brother's saying. These are very important observations. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Philadelphia. Henry, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how are you doing, Doc?
Doing very well.
Congratulations on the show. Where are you going? You said last week about, you know, pointing towards some things that you wanted to discuss in the future, and I had called in and brought up that race was going to be, I think, the most important thing that the church needed to focus on. And we went through calls.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, they're trying to, you know, point it out that it seems to be an individual problem and all that, but we have to look at the picture in whole. And athletics is a business through college into the pros. And there's no way to kind of like stem that unless the people on the top who are running the system actually say you're going to have to meet this criteria in order to be in college, graduate college, and even come into the pros. Because what's going to happen is if they do decide to do that, it's just going to slow things up. They're rushing these guys through, and you know that maybe only 1% make it to the pros. And the next time you see that 1%, they're in the booth, you know, discussing sports on TV or radio, and the rest of the guys are unheard of. You don't know what happened to them.
Right, and then, I just got to jump in, only because I'm almost out of time, but I wanted to get your call before we were done. My apologies to those who held. We just, phone lines totally jammed for an hour and 45 minutes since I brought this up. But, Henry, absolutely right. There have to be certain standards, but then how do we help the schools? How do we help the families? How do we work these things through rather than just say, well, you don't pass? There's got to be a better, deeper solution. Henry, this is obviously a subject we're returning to. We're going to return to it in a redemptive, constructive way. If I ever point fingers, it's as us, as human beings, who need to humble ourselves before God, and we need each other. Whatever I can do to be of help through the radio broadcast to help conversation, understanding, and then in the myriad numbers of problems facing all of us as Americans from every race and background, what can we do together to see a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? Right, remember, tonight, just 3 hours from now, Freeport, Long Island, 80 West Merrick Road at Word of Life. 7 o'clock the service starts, then I'll be speaking and then doing a book signing. We'll have both Authentic Fire and Hyper Grace there. Tomorrow morning, Middle Island Gospel Cafe for pastors and leaders. This is hosted by Holding Out Hope Church in Middle Island. That'll be 9 o'clock, free breakfast. Then I'll be speaking about these books, taking your questions, and then doing a book signing. And then all day in Manhattan, 1 to 6 in the afternoon at American Bible Society on Broadway, we'll be doing live radio together with Kevin McCullough. And then from 4 to 6, we'll be talking about Authentic Fire and Hyper Grace, taking your questions, and then doing a book signing there as well. So please join me. If you have questions about this, just go to my website, AskDrBrown, AskDrBrown.com. www.lifeforthemorals.org. Go over to, to contact and then scroll down to itinerary to take advantage of today's special offer. AskDrBrown.org right on the website, the homepage. My bottom line today, we've put our finger on one of many, many problems in America. The ultimate solution lies in revival in the church touching the world.